Good evening, Baruch Hashem. I hope together with all the Talmidei HaYeshiva we'll be able to contribute to the student body and ultimately to Klal Yisrael when we go out into the world. Just by way of introduction, the title of the talk tonight, The Summer Break, Staying Connected. There's a not-so-known personality in the Mishnah and the Gemara. His name was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Not like a Bayan Rava, you know, he's not up in the top 10 of those who are mentioned in every page in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Anybody knows where he appears, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch? What do we have something about Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch? Pirkei Avos. He's famous for smashing all the competition in Pirkei Avos. He came up with the idea to have a Leif Tov, includes all the other Midos Tovos. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his Rebbe, said about him, that if all the Talmidei Chachamim, all the great Torah scholars of the whole period that he lived in would be on one side of the scale, and Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch would be on the other, he would take the cake. He would beat all of them. Whatever happened to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch? How come we never hear about him too much in the Gemara? So there's an interesting medrash. Tracked it down on the Bar Ilan right before this year. In Koheles Rabbah. It says that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, after his Rebbe passed away, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so all of his colleagues, they went to Yavne to go study in the yeshiva, continue learning there. And he went home. He went home to the five towns, or whatever, to Chicago, to L.A. It's somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. He went home to his wife. That's what the Medrash says. Some up-and-coming town called Amos, something like that. I don't know exactly where it is. So he was waiting for his colleagues and his students to come join him. But they didn't, because they all wanted to stay in Yavne, in the yeshiva. So he said, well, maybe I should go to them. They're not coming to me, I should go to them. So his wife said, wait a second over here. Who's the smartest Tana of the whole generation? It's you. Let them come to you. After all, you come to the food doesn't come to you. It's exactly the analogy she uses. So he listened to her. And the Gemara says that because he listened to her and he stayed out of the context of the yeshiva, even though he was an enormous Torah scholar, he knew the whole Torah by heart, he forgot practically all of his learning. And the Chachamim came to visit him and they asked him simple questions in halacha. He didn't know the answer. I think there's another version of the Medrash, I wasn't able to track it down, that they gave him an aliyah. You know, then that they didn't have a Baal Kori. Everyone read their own section. And he couldn't even read the letters in the Chumash that he had forgotten so much. So this story teaches us the importance of always staying connected somehow to the yeshiva. The yeshiva is the headquarters. And that which the yeshiva represents has to go with us wherever we go in life. So I wanted to take some time out tonight, divide the talk into about five small sections. Different ways to connect ourselves to Torah and mitzvos, ultimately to connect ourselves to Torah and what Yeshiva University represents, especially the yeshiva part, as we go to the summer months after the final season. Take a look at source one on the handout. Chashivut ha-sviva, chashivus ha-sviva, make everyone happy. Importance of environment. There's a famous Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav. Halacha Aleph. Derech briyoso shel adam lios nimshach b'deyosov v'masov achareyav achaverav. Nohe kemine ganshe medinoso. In a word, man is a social creature. More than he is influenced by books and by study, he's influenced by environment. Put a bad person in a good environment and he'll probably transform to be good. And put a good person, Khalil, in a bad environment and they'll usually turn out to be bad. Say Almad from the famous episode of Patty Hearst. Won't get involved in the details for those who don't know. A woman who was kidnapped by terrorists, basically, and she became like them. And the same is true in the reverse. Therefore, says the Rambam, Lefichach tzarech adam l'schaber l'tzadikim. You have to join yourself to righteous individuals. V'leishev etzal chachamim tamid, k'dei sheyilmud m'aseyem. You should always put yourself in a positive environment, specifically to join Torah scholars. V'yisrachik min harashoyim, and distance yourself from evildoers. The Rambam continues, we're not going to see all of it inside due to time constraints. And let's say everyone around you is wicked in your city, so go to a different city. And let's say everyone in your country is wicked, so lock yourself up in your house. And let's say you can't do that, so go to a desert. Very mysterious Rambam. Go on a rocket ship. Go to Mars. How realistic is that? So I just heard a talk, quoting the Briska Rav, that said that the Midbar that you have to go to in order to create a positive environment when the environment around you is not so positive is the Beis Knesset and the Beis Medrash. You have to make sure to spend a lot of time in these places, in the shuls and the Beis Medrash. And that is true not only during the school year, but it's all the more true in the summer. Because as I joke around with my students, the minhag in this neighborhood, it's also the minhag in America, in the summer they think the street is the beach. It's not so conducive to pure thoughts when you're in such an environment. And sometimes the workplace is also the beach. It's also not so conducive to such a holy framework. So it's important to take breaks, especially during the summer, to reconnect to what is really true and really real. And the way to do that, as the Rambam says, is to connect ourselves to holy people and to holy places. So number one, it's important to create our own environment or sub-environment within the summer. Whether we find ourselves vacationing or taking summer classes or in the workplace, which many of us are doing. Someone has to pay for the YA tuition after all. Constantly remain connected. Take some time out. Every day, if possible, and every night when you come home from work or from the summer classes or when you take a break from Mickey Mouse or wherever else you find yourself, either go to a Beis Medrash that's actually there or make your own Beis Medrash wherever you are, whatever neighborhood you're in or whatever motel room or hotel room you find yourself in. Make your own Midbar so that hopefully that environment will spill over to the rest of the day. This is number one. Environment. Number two, chashivas of Talmud Torah, the centrality of Torah learning. There's a beautiful Maharal Miprag on the Rashi that comments that there are three times in the Torah that it uses the word im to introduce a mitzvah. If. What's wrong with that? Sounds like it's optional. But the mitzvos that the Torah is talking about in those three examples are talking about obligatory mitzvos. So why did it say im, if you're going to do it? So there are many different interpretations, but the morale is a very beautiful pshat that although we are commanded by our Ribbono Shel Olam, whether we like it or not, we have to do mitzvos. Of course, it's subject to our free choice, but there's accountability. But our attitude should be one of if. This is something I want to do, even though I know I have to do it. But it's something I choose to do because I know it's right. During the school year, especially for those that didn't necessarily have an opportunity to devote extra time to night seder, the mitzvah of learning is not an if. There are grades. There are consequences. There's attendance. The summer months is an opportunity to demonstrate that the whole year, it wasn't just because there was someone standing over me. No one's standing over me, no one's taking attendance, no one's grading me on what I learn. You demonstrate avas Hashem, that you're willing to learn even though there's no mashgiach, there's no overseer that's taking attendance or counting. And there's no prizes for learning in the summer either. It's a tremendous opportunity to demonstrate our dedication to this Kodesh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies. What I wanted to do, although this is of course relevant to all of our lives, let's take a little peek another look at what Torah is all about and why it's so important. It's a Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah, source 2. Middle of the line. Rabbanan Amri, Bachamisha Dvarim, Nimshala HaTorah. There are five things the Torah is compared to. Interestingly, they're all food. After all, im ain't barbecue, ain't Torah. Im ain't Torah, ain't barbecue. B'mayim, b'yayin, b'dvash, b'chalav, b'shemen. The Torah is compared to water, to wine, to honey, to milk, and to oil. Not getting involved in the whole medrash, because again, the clock is ticking. What's the analogy of Torah to mayim? So we have this famous story about Rabbi Akiva. When the Romans told him, why are you risking your life to learn Torah? Why don't you be like us? So they gave the famous analogy that a fox once told a fish, why don't you come out onto the shore? It'll be much, much better for you instead of always having to be in the water all the time. And the fish gave the famous answer, if I go onto the shore, certain death. If I stay in the water, at least I have a chance. Could be eaten by a shark, could be eaten by a whale, but I'll take my chances. On the shore, certain death. Torah is water. Without water, we die. I always try to give over to my students, and like to give over to you as well. Rabbi Soloveitchik stressed the idea that Hashem created two law systems. One is the laws of nature, and one of the laws of Torah. They're both equally binding. If I jump off Belfer, there's a law of nature that says I die. It's obvious. No one's going to deny it. I don't drink. Chalila, a person passes away. They can't live without water. The laws of nature are obvious. The laws of Torah, they're just as real. But they're not so obvious. A person can go their whole life without learning a word of Torah, and it looks like they're living quite well. But inside, they're dying a slow death on the level of the neshama, not the guf. So everybody knows the famous answer, so why did God make it that way? Because we need... What do we need? If everything would be so obvious. A person wouldn't learn, they would literally be starving until they learned three daf in Masechta Yevamos. Daf Yom is learning Yevamos. What would happen? No free choice. So that second law system was hidden. But it's just as real. Just as you don't drink, you can't survive. No Torah, the neshama can't survive. Let's continue. The Torah is compared to oil. Why is it compared to oil? So look at the underline. Ma shemen hazeh tchilos omar v'sofo motok. Kachein divrei Torah. Ode mitzdar ben tchila v'osu ben achris tova. You know, sometimes you see in the neighborhood elsewhere too, you know, you have a drunkard on the train or whatever, so he's taking a little swig, right? You ever see anybody do that with like a bottle of canola? Right? Little swig of mazola. Corn oil, right? It's disgusting. The Gemara says, according to one opinion, you don't even make a bracha on olive oil because it's harmful. It's bitter. But yet, everything here has tons of oil. And everybody knows that's what gives it taste. Dan, it's okay, right? And once in a while, even though it's not so nutritious. Oil makes it sweet, but not right away. In the raw form, it's bitter. The same is true for Torah. It's very nice to tell people, learn. Learn a lot. Learn every day. Learn every night. What if you're not excited about learning? So a lot of people, they wait for the excitement to come. And then, when the excitement comes, then I'll learn. The problem is the excitement never comes because of this medrash right here. Can't blame it on the medrash. That's the way Hashem set up the system. Torah is a treasure. Hashem only gives it to those who are willing to work hard. But once you do work hard, it's the sweetest thing ever. Which is the other analogy of Torah that's also compared to honey. But you only get to the honey of Torah if you're willing to work hard at it. The summer months, when you're a little bit freer, I spoke to some of my students, I wonder whether that's really true. Looks like they're working hard in the summer during the year. But most of us, the bottom line is, we're a little bit freer than during the year. So we have an opportunity to develop this sweetness. Put in a little more hard work into Torah study. And Bezus Hashem, it'll last a lifetime. You'll be able to see and taste the sweetness, whether through self-study, whether through learning Bechavrusa, whether through attending Shiurim. Let's take a look at Source 3. Am Rav Yona, the underlined section. Avev Shel Rav Mana B'Shem Rav Levi, Sham B'Shem Rav Abba. A long list of people here. Lo Hoysa Torah Tzricha Linasein LiYisrael B'Olam Hazeh. The Torah really shouldn't have been given in Olam Hazeh. Of course, that would have made the testing in BMP a lot easier. But amongst other things. Why? She'akol asidin lios l'meidin Torah and piyakodesh baruch olam abo. After all, we'll all be learning Olam Haba anyway. So we're going to get the shir then. So what I got to learn here? Asks the Medrash. Lama nitna lahem ba'olam hazeh. She'kishiyavo ha'kodesh baruch hu l'lamda olam haba. That people should know what's flying in the heavenly academy when they're learning Baba Kama on a deeper level, the real way. If they never tasted it at all in this existence, they're going to have no idea what's flying and they won't be able to enjoy it. There's an old joke that Gehinnom and Gan Eden are exactly the same thing. The ones who enjoy Torah learning and absorb the positive attitude toward Kiddush in this world, nothing like it. It's as sweet as oil, as sweet as sugar, as sweet as dvash. And the ones who couldn't care less, when is this shir going to be over already? That's Gehinnom. That's a joke. It's a joke. I'm convinced it's a joke. But the bottom line is, let's think about this for a second. Any medrash says we put on tefillin in Olam Haba? Anything like that? Anybody know? Oh, no, such a medrash? Any medrash that says we put on tzitzis in Olam Haba, keep Shabbos, honor parents, give tzedakah? Those are fans of Shlomo Makalbach, you know about the holy miser from Krakow, no? There are no poor people in heaven, no? Anybody know that one? You don't give tzedakah in Olam Haba. So why are you learning in Olam Haba? I don't understand. Isn't Olam Haba just to bask in like the radiance of God, receive divine pleasure? What's this Torah stuff doing in Olam Haba? So what's the answer? That is the pleasure of Olam Haba. Learning Torah, in other words, understanding Hashem's wisdom on a deeper level. So let's understand what that means. That means that what Torah is that Hashem took a slice of Olam Haba, you know, in those mad scientist laboratories, you know, where they have all the beakers and the liquid goes up and then filters out to this and boils up to a new one, a new one, a new one. And then you have, you know, the elixir of life, right? The stuff that makes you live forever or turns you into Frankenstein. So lahavdil, that's what Hashem did with His Torah. He took the enormity of the pleasure of understanding as much as we can about God, which is the most pleasurable experience of them all. Parenthetically, they point out, you ask a kid, what would you want more than anything? I'll give you a truckload of lollipops if you do this for me. Wow, lollipops, unbelievable. You tell that to a YU student, with rare exception. Gotta be kidding. Give me money. Give me DVDs. Give me something. Okay, let's keep it straight. That's it? So what is Hashem doing for us here? As we get older, what happens? What happens? More and more what we enjoy becomes less directly physical, more intellectual. That's what happens as we mature. So Hashem's giving us a hint here of what's really in store for us. You ain't seen nothing yet. In any case, getting back to the mad scientist. So Hashem took this unbelievable wisdom of God that is waiting for us in Olam Haba, and He whittled it down into Torah Hashem. And that's what we call Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar Tevarim, Brachos, so on and so forth, Shabbos, Erevin, etc., etc., etc. This is what we have to taste in this world in order to get a deeper understanding in the next world. This is what Torah is, where, so to speak, Hashem gave of Himself to us. Let's make sure that we seize the opportunity to get it. Again, the summer months is a wonderful opportunity to do so. Let's take a look at the next medrash. Parenthetically, just an editorial, even though I always hate to advertise my own material. But those who are interested in looking into that topic, just very briefly, so I wrote an article for it on TorahWeb.org. It's called Pleasure of Torah. I collected just the Maamar Makomos throughout the Gemaras and Midrashim that speak about a missing link that we sometimes forget about. Torah was meant to be enjoyable, not something that we just have to struggle through. But it only comes with hard work, then you get to the enjoyment. Ask Matan, he'll tell you. He's an eyewitness. Let's take a look at the next source. Let's flip to source four, and now we go to page two. Okay, start from the beginning. Davaracher, Rabbanan Amri, Hatipish Hazeh, the fool, Nichnas Leveitz HaKnesses, he goes into the shul. Nichnas Leveitz HaKnesses, V'roson Oskim HaTorah. He sees all of these Oreos learning Torah. Okay. V'omer Lehen, Heich, and why you, Baruch Hashem, we have a very diverse base of Medrash, not just black and whites. V'omer Lehen, Heich Adam Lomet Torah. What do you do? Tchila, how do you do this stuff? It's not for me. Omrim lo, no problem. Tchila korei b'megillah. First you learn chumash. V'achakach b'sefer, and then you can read from a sefer Torah. V'achakach b'neviim, v'achakach b'ksuvim. What about when you're done with that? Then you learn Mishnah, and then you learn Gemara, and then you learn Agada. Let's take a look at line 3. Kevin sheshomea kachom v'libo. Eima sayani lomid kolzos. When am I going to learn all that? What are you, crazy? V'chozim min ashar. It's not for me. Amar Abyanai, Lamad Avadoma, Lekikar Shayatali Ba'avir. Let's make it a little more relevant to the barbecue. You have a nice piece of watermelon, corn, whatever, burger. It's hanging from a string. And it's really, someone really wants it. So the fool goes along and says, Tipish Omer, Mi Yuchal Avio. How could I get that? It's too high. Ufikeach Omer, the smart one, says, Lo echo tolo so. Someone put it there, right? Someone hung it there, right? So there's a way to get up there. So he thinks for a while, gets a ladder. Maybe sulam or kone or mordo, so brings it down. Kach kol mishu tipish omer, eim esay ekra kol haTorah. When am I going to learn everything? I don't have time for this. Umishu bekeach ma'u osa. Shona perek echa b'chol yom. A chapter a day. Achim esayim kol haTorah kula. Omar kodesh baruch hu lo niflesi. Where did it say that? Elul Parsha. In Parshas Nitzavim, Lo Nifle Simim Cha, the Torah is not distant from you. She'ein Ata Asuk Ba. Excuse me. Lo Nifle Simim, Nifle Simim Cha, She'ein Ata Asuk Ba. If the Torah is too distant, it's because you're not even trying. I try to give out to my students learning goals for life. I'll give you a little smattering of that. One parak a day in Tanakh gives you the whole Tanakh in approximately a year and a half. Two Mishnayos a day. Anybody know the math? 4 years. Shas Mishnayos in? 6 years. Six Mishnayos a day? 2 years. One Mishnah a day. Not bad. You could finish Shas Mishnayos 3, 4, 5 times a life. We're all capable of doing that. We have no excuse. The Ikar, and we'll come back to this later, is to set yourself a schedule. And the summer is a wonderful opportunity to carry through the rest of the year. A Mishnah day, a Perek day, a quarter of a page of Gemara day. Especially now, art scroll technology, right? There's a new verb. Art scroll it, right? Baruch Hashem, even people have been in yeshiva the whole life. Listen, I have a secret to tell you. They're all there with the art scrolls at Daf Yomi. It's no shame. Baruch Hashem, we're learning Torah in whatever way we can. So let's make a quick cheshbon. The summer has about 90 days if you include June, unless you're here for June's month, so then you're learning anyway. Okay, 90 days, a quarter of a page a day. 90 days. So what do we got there? Do the math. A quarter of an amud, right? I'm talking about one side here. 22 and a half. So that's Masechta Makos. There you go. And if not, so you'll be poised to finish Megillah or Tainus. Something you can accomplish. It's doable. But the Ikar is right after finals, before you take your flight home or your bus home. Commit in your mind, what's my goal? How am I going to accomplish it? What time am I going to dedicate to this? And then you'll see it could happen. Be the Bikeach, not the Tipish. How can I learn this stuff? Chapter a day. That's the way it's done. Little by little. It's a lot more to be said about Torah study, but let's move on to the next topic. Gemilas Chasadim. Let's leave the source, we'll just say it out. We know that the world stands on three pillars: Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. Avodah is normally translated as Karbonos or Tefillah. Let's focus on Gemilas Chasadim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was walking on the road with his student Rabbi Yoshua, and they saw the Beis HaMikdash burning, or destroyed, I should say. It was already after the Churban. Keep in mind, these were transitional figures. They saw the Beis HaMikdash, and it was destroyed in their day. So they were wondering, what's going to be? We're going to have no kapara. There's no atonement for our veros, because no karbanos. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this is an avister of nas, and you have it on the sheet. We're not going to go through it inside. We have a different form of kapara. Gemilas Chasadim. Be kind. During the year, we're too busy to eat. We're too busy to sleep. I went through the same meal as you do. Now I fall asleep at the table. 11, 12. You guys, you stay up till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. During finals, you take the word sleep and just take it out of your dictionary. Most of us don't have too much time for Gemilas Chasadim during the year. What about the summer? No excuse. Most of your communities have some kind of stalker project, some kind of chesed project. Many of them have a Tomchei Shabbos. You could help pack for them. They have deliveries to poor people. You could ask the CGF. I'm sure they have many opportunities. You could help other communities with Torah tours and other kinds of opportunities to help out. Not just in your own learning, but in helping Klal Yisrael. Gemilas Chasadim. Rabbi Avigdor Miller had a beautiful idea. He pointed out that just like, and I'm not sure if you guys have an opportunity to do this, but some of you at least, you know, you lift weights, you exercise, not during final season, whatever. Then it usually goes on the back burner. If you don't exercise your Gemilas Chasadim muscles, they atrophy and they waste away. You have to mechazik them. So if during the year you can't really do that as much, do it in summer. At least once a week. Some kind of project to make sure that we're doing some kind of chesed to people. Again, I'm sure the CGF will be happy to help you if your own communities don't have such projects. Let's move on. Save that for last. Let's move on to number 7. It's Bonanos B'teva. For those in the city, Arachmanis. I'll be in the city also. What could you do? Some of you will be in more summery settings. Maybe that's where you live, in a more summery setting outside of the urban jungle. Some of you will be vacationing. But even so, even in the city, you take a vacation, you go to Central Park, whatever. A little mini break. What they don't teach enough in YU, even though we are Torah Mada people, is the fact that it's a tremendously religious experience to absorb the message and the lessons of Hashem's created world. And who's the one who made this most famous? Let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam in Source 7. Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah is chapter 2 in the whole Mishnah Torah. Pretty fundamental. Later on he discusses Talmud Torah, which as we'll see is even more important. But it's very fundamental. V'heichi HaDerech LaVosav Yeroso. How do you love and fear God? How do you do that? I know how to love people. Sometimes it comes naturally to fear certain people, especially the dean when you need a favor for them, or a professor when you need him to bump you up a little bit. How do you love and fear God? But he's intangible. You can't see him. You can't touch him. B'shoah she'es bonei na'adam b'masav avruav anefloim agidolim. When you contemplate the wondrous creations, and he sees the wisdom of God. She'ein lo erech v'lo keitz. It has no end to it. Miyaru oiv mishabeach umafor misave tayv gadol aleda Hashem agadol. A person is overcome by an enormous desire to know this great being that did all of this. Now the Rambam we know was a philosopher. The way he writes it is more on an intellectual level. When a person contemplates the wonders of creation. But Rabbi Soloveitchik noted that the idea is also true not only on an intellectual level, but on an emotional, experiential level. You look at a bee, and it's buzzing from flower to flower, and there should be an enormous emotion. Wow! Do you know how many DNA molecules are floating around that bee? You know, all the fruit in the world, not all, much fruit in the world is only because of the wisdom of pollination. The bee has its own agenda, and it tries to feed itself with the nectar or whatever, gets some pollen on its body, and goes to the next one. Yeah, we all study this with Darwin, right? Mother Nature made these mutations, lucked out. Thank nobody, no God, that we could eat. What a lucky break. The problem is that we gave it all away. And religious people don't marvel at this. Take a look at the sun once in a while during the summer months and think about the fact that if not for that thermonuclear reactor that was fusing hydrogen molecules at a rate of billions and billions a second in a more efficient way than mankind probably will ever discover, we would all freeze and there would be no light, no heat, nothing. Who created that? The Melech Malchi Amlachim, and try this, I tried on a yeshiva boy. He almost flipped out. He said, wow, I never thought of this. Go into a baseball field or a park. The less light, the better. And just stare at the sky at night. You know what you're going to see? Chiddush. Stars. But not the two or three that you see, you know, just to be Yotzei Tzeis Kechavim here in the New York City. But you'll see Niflos Habore. Unbelievable, even if you don't have the pictures of the Hubble telescope. Who created all of this? It's an enormously religious feeling that a person could gain just from contemplating, as the Rambam writes, and experiencing nature. Rav Yisachar Fran gave a drasha once about, I think it was about self-esteem. I'm not sure what the exact context we have, the Grand Canyon that makes you feel very humble. So I pointed out that there was a woman came over to her after the shiur and said, my journey to religion started in the Grand Canyon. Because she took the time out to think about what the implications are of the wonders of nature. Great! So forget about the first part of the shiur, about the Torah part and the Gemilas Chassadim part, right? And I'll just plug into nature. I'll get my beach chair and I'll just wonder, wow, look at those waves! And that'll be it, right? After all, the Rambam put it before Hilchos Talmud Torah, right? So let's take a look at the next paragraph, a very important paragraph. Source 8. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa Omer, we'll skip the part that's not relevant to us. Hamahalech Baderech Vishone. He's walking on the road and learning. Umafsik Mimishnoso. And he stops learning. V'omer. Manoe Ilon Zeh. Umanoe Nir Zeh. How wonderful this tree is! How wonderful this trough is! This furrow where they're planting in the field. Mala lava kosev ki ilum ischayev benafsho. The Torah views it as if he's liable to a death sentence from the heaven. So the Mefarshim asks two questions: what's so terrible about marveling at a tree? Isn't that avodas Hashem? Didn't the Rambam say that it is? And furthermore, what's this neutral language here? Ki'ilu mischayev benafsho. It's as if he has a death sentence hanging on him. Why not call a spade a spade? Harei zeh mischayev benafsho. So many commentaries, starting with the Tosfos Yom Tov and others, the Medrash Shmuel, they say very beautifully, if someone is in the middle of learning and stops to discuss the Yankees and the Mets or the latest stock trade, Marcus up today. That's not ki'ilu mischayev benafsho. That's harei zeh mischayev benafsho. As other Mishnayos indicate, you stop the Kodesh Kedoshim to engage in relative futility. You stop plugging into Olam Haba to just engage in Olam Hazeh. So that's very terrible. Of course, Hashem's very patient with us, so there's always tshuva. Yeah, you do it once, that's it. I'm a dead man anyway. Forget it. Try to work on yourself. This is ki'ilu. Why? Because what did you stop your Torah for? Not to read a comic book. to marvel at nature. It's also avodas Hashem. So that's what the Mishnah says, but it's not as high. It's not as intense. Yes, there's contemplating and appreciating and connecting to our Creator through contemplating nature. But there's a higher level, and that's Torah study. So if you stop the higher level for the lower level, that's ke'ilu. Not quite, because the bottom line is you are engaged in avodas Hashem, but it's ke'ilu, as if. I gave an analogy to perhaps explain this a little bit. We described earlier, what's Torah? Torah is like, it's hard to say, use such a phrase, but I just want you to take this phrase with you. It's like God concentrated. That's what Torah is. He gave an analogy of himself into Torah. So when you're learning Torah, it's like you're reading God's biography. It's hard to understand that idea, but the fact that that's what we learn in Olam Haba teaches us that concept as well. We're learning about God. When you're studying nature, you're studying about Hashem's architecture that He builds in the world. So if you want to get to know somebody, you could study their habits, their building, look what their dorm room looks like. You'll get to know a little bit about their mannerisms, or you could read their autobiography. Which is the better way to connect to someone? You read the autobiography, right? That's Torah. Nature is like studying the building. It's also important. It's also a method. You need both. Because after all, we're not learning 24/7, but when you're eating lunch on a park bench in Manhattan, you have an opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Victor Miller said that when he would take walks, he would contemplate for 5 minutes just on the marvel of an apple, on the marvel of a sun. Did he teach you this in biology? Does Dr. Feit take a break to teach you this? Great. Because you have to. This is Avodas Hashem. Let's continue. Coming to the final stretch here. Number 6. Tefillah. It's a famous Gemara in Brachos. Amalei ahum erabonan l'Rav Bibi bar Abaya. V'ami lo Rav Bibi l'Rav Nachum bar Yitzchok. My kerum zulus levnei adam. Very difficult pasuk to translate. The Gemara is going to interpret it midrashically. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Yud Beis. Kerum zulus levnei adam. The Gemara interprets it as follows. Rum means something high up. Zulus, the Gemara interprets it to mean zilzal, lowly, degrading. What does it mean? High up or degrading? Which is it? So Amalei. Elu dvarim she'omdim beruma shalolam levnei adam zalzlin b'hen. These are things that stand at the pinnacle of the world, and people degrade them. What are these things? So Rashi somehow understands this to mean, kigon, the next line, tefillah, she'ola lamayla. It goes all the way up to the heavens, and people degrade it. They don't treat it properly. The Baal Shem Tov had the following insight into this Gemara. Normally we understand people treat tefillah very lightly. They talk during davening, they don't concentrate during davening. This is something we all have to struggle with. Even Rav Chaim Volozhin, when he speaks about the high levels of tefillah, he says, okay, you can reach kavanah once in a while. Most of the time, it's going to be a big struggle. The Baal Shem Tov said, no, that's not what this means. It doesn't mean people degrade it, meaning that they misbehave during davening, etc. It means the following. You know what tefillah is? Tefillah is an opportunity 3 times a day or as many times as you want. Say Olmad from Tevye and Fither on the Roof. You could talk to God anytime you want. You have an opportunity to have an audience with the Melech Malchim Melachim. And you know what happens when you speak? Wherever you are in your whisper or loud voice, whatever it is, straight up to the heavens. The Zohar says that an earnest tefillah, straight up to the Kisei HaKavod. It's based on a Gemara Bava Metzia also. Sharei Dima Lo Ninalu. Someone davens with proper kavana, it goes straight to Shemayim. During the school year, Baruch Hashem, if you're able to get to Minyan. If you're there, you're zonked. It's very hard for many of us during the school year to really, unless you're just in the Beis Medrash the whole day, to put our energies into tefillah. The summer months, we have an opportunity to do that. Oftentimes, depending on our work schedule. For those who live in communities with a yeshiva, I urge you to take the time out to once in a while, not every day, because some of us will go bonkers if we do that. daven with the yeshiva minyan with an art scroll sitter, and not this new graduate one that took away the English, the old art scroll, the one with the English, and daven slowly and take a look at the words and understand them. Reconnect to this lofty, lofty ideal of tefillah that we sometimes take lightly during the year. But now I have to add the following. Two summers ago, 8,000 to 9,000 Jews were thrown out of their homes. Last summer, I'm talking about Eretz Yisrael now, Pinui Gush Katif, some like to call it Hitnatkut, disengagement. Others like to call it Gerush, expulsion. Last summer, 2006, the Second Lebanon War put over 1 million Jews in danger. Over 100 killed. But even more than that, the whole country, certainly in the Galil, felt a sense of war. The summer months, I remember, I live in Kew Garden Hills. Most of the Rabbanim were away. The guys went out in yeshiva. There was no opportunity really to get the troops together and pour our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I hate to be a doomsday naysayer, but you know what the pundits are saying. Hezbollah already threatened this past Sunday that they're ready for the next war in the summer. Chas v'shalom, it should ever happen. But let's preempt. Doesn't Rav Goldberg tell us every other sicha, why is Yishmael called Yishmael? First of all, because his whole essence is tefillah. Because they're always davening, 5 times a day for them, it's Yom Kippur every single day. And you know what? Hashem hears their tefillos. I hope he always says no to them. But I'm afraid that sometimes he says yes, because maybe they're davening with more kavanah than we are. But you know what the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says? You know why he's called Yishmael? Because when they cause sorrows to Klal Yisrael and we pour out our hearts to Hashem to save us, Hashem will listen to us. But listening to what? They're davening? Besides the regular tefillah, you know, I'll tell you a secret. It's something called Vahu Rachum. You know, it's that stuff that everyone breathes a sigh of relief. Whoa, got out of that one. There was a bris milah today. Okay. Oh, chasen and shul. Don't have to say Vahu Rachum. You know what Vahu Rachum is? Anybody ever focus on that? You know what that is? It's a cry for help. Hashem, they're killing us. Help. They're killing us more. Help us more. Take one paragraph of that Vahu Rachum on a Monday or a Thursday and say it with kavana and contribute to the war effort. Because even if Chalila, no war should ever occur to Klal Yisrael, but we need constant, constant protection. Summer months. Maybe Hashem gave us an opportunity when we were a little bit freer to bring about a Yeshua. And especially if we're not getting the pep talk. That's just on a personal note. Let's just conclude with the following. Those who are working in business and those who are in colleges, etc., the summer is an enormous opportunity to create a Kiddush Hashem. Create an example of what it means to be a Ben Torah outside in the market. To dress properly, to act properly, not to use foul language. Oh yeah, Ellie. Yeah, we can't cuss around him because it's not appropriate. He never uses these words. Kiddush Hashem, an unbelievable opportunity to do that. And the same thing is true in colleges, wherever you are, and so on and so forth. Time doesn't permit to elaborate. Let's just conclude with one more idea. Take a look at the last line. The summer months is the Bein HaMitzarim. Hopefully we should be Zoche to celebrate the Yom Tif of Shiva Asur B'Tammuz and the Yom Tif of Tisha B'Av this year. But if not, it will be a period of mourning. Famous Pasuk, what is this period called between Shiva Asur B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av? Bein HaMitzarim. Where does it come from? A Pasuk in Eicha. Take a look at the very end. Kol Rotfea Esigua Bein HaMitzarim. All the ones who chased after the Jewish people, they reached her between the straits. Meaning during this time period, they were able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and exile so many millions and hundreds of thousands of Klal Yisrael. Koznitz Magid, a Hasidic twist to this pasuk. Because you have to have a happy twist. You can't just end in such a sorrowful note. Kol Rotfea, how is it spelled? Resh Dalet Pei Yud followed by a Hey. You could read it as the ones who chased after her, meaning after Klal Yisrael. You could read it as Kol Rotfei, the letter Hey. those who run after Hashem during the period of the Bein HaMitzarim, Hisiguha, they will reach it. Because there's no such thing in our religion as just being sad, as just falling down. It's always a spring. You go down in order to spring up. So the summer months, specifically that period, but the rest of the summer too, when we have more opportunity to engage in other aspects of Avodas Hashem, is an enormous opportunity to reach God. Hisigu hei. It's my bracha to myself and all of us here, my Talmidim and all of those who came out to this year, and all of the students in YU, to be able to use the summer months to develop their attitude toward Torah, to be in the right environment, to engage in a little more kavanah and tefillah, engage in gemilas chasadim, contemplate nature, and serve as the kiddush Hashem wherever you are.